Hello, friends. Thank you for tuning in to our weekly podcast from First United Methodist Church of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I'm Drew Shelley, one of the pastors here. It is our hope and prayer that the message you hear today will help you connect deeply with the love of God we know in Jesus. Also, we'd love to connect with you so that we can share life and faith together. If you'd like more information about this church family, or if you want us to contact you, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at FUMC Borough. If you're looking for a place to belong, we have that place for you in one of our classes or small groups, as a part of one of our mission teams, or in either our modern or traditional worship services, which both meet at 10:15 on Sunday mornings. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the idea of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him for the transformation of Murfreesboro and the world. We hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Jesus in your life. Before we hear our gospel lesson this morning, I wanted to ask if you were part of the team of leaders and site organizers for FUMC Serves last week, would you stand? If you were one of those who led one of the 13 areas, would you stand up where you are and just remain standing? Yeah. We thank God for these folks. Now, if you were among the 508 people who got out there and served last Sunday, would you stand? Would you stand? What a day. My goodness. It was really wonderful. Thank you all. We had a great time last Sunday. It was wild and crazy and chaotic, but my goodness, what God did through all of that was a gift to this community and to many people. I don't think we'll know for a very long time all that God has done. I do know that we made 9,000 servings of rice. That's a lot of servings of rice. I don't want that much rice, just one would be fine, but that's a lot of people, a lot of hungry folks who will have something to eat. That's just one meal, but what a gift. So thank you very much, and many thanks to the folks who organized that effort and got us to pull together to do that. If you haven't had a chance yet to watch the video that Ben put together, it's on our Facebook page. I think you can link to it through the weekly email also, or the YouTube channel. And then there is a podcast that Josh, Chrislin, and I did earlier this week where we debriefed a little bit from that. So if you want to know more about last Sunday, you can find out. Just let us know and we can help you get to those things and see what you think about it and to see what happens next as a result of that. Let's hear our first gospel lesson. We have a few today. This is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. We're beginning this series called Following Jesus in the Digital Age, and we begin with the callings of some of the disciples. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Now we hear from Luke's Gospel, the fifth chapter, verses 27 and 28. This is Levi. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi. Don't you know everybody loved him? He was sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then we turn to John's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 43 through 49. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nathanael said to him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, Come and see. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael asked him, Where did you get to know me? Jesus answered, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. Nathanael replied, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And then finally, Jesus had women disciples as well. We don't hear their call stories, but we do hear this passage in Luke chapter 8. Soon afterwards, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Cusa, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Words are important to me. I really love words. I love finding the right word for the right moment. That's one of the reasons why I love what I do so much. I get to put words together and just see what happens. It's fun. I love doing that. But I'll have to confess, I really do like flowery words. I really, really like flowery words. You can thank my wife, Shannon. She helps me tone that down quite a bit. If left to my own devices, every sermon would be a poetry recital with seminary words that rhyme, and that wouldn't be good for anybody, especially me. I picked up a book recently by Dr. Clovis Chappell. It's a book of sermons by this preacher. I think they were published in about 1920, so he's old school. And actually, if you know the Brentwood Methodist Church and its pastor, Davis Chappell, this is Davis's, I think, great-uncle, Clovis Chappell. One night, I got to reading aloud out of Clovis's book while Shannon was trying to go to sleep. Shannon really loves it when I read sermons to her while she's trying to go to sleep. I read this beautiful passage that I just found so meaningful. Clovis wrote this, What we need is faith, for faith is not a tame and spineless thing that dares nothing. Real faith dares something, something big and brawny, beyond the human. Hence, it brings into life the thrill of finest romance. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, I just loved it. I read it twice to her, and she said, He sounds like you. And I'll have to confess, a tear of pride came into my eye as I laid Brother Clovis gently over on the nightstand. I put my arm around Shannon, and then she said, I'll bet nobody knew what in the world he was talking about either. And then I turned over and went to sleep. Words are so important. We have this word that has become so important to us in our world today, follow, right? We know that word, follow. Who are you following on Facebook, on Twitter? Which news outlet are you following? What influencers do you follow on YouTube? Even little kids, you can watch, did you know this? You can watch children playing with toys. They're reviewing toys, but really they're just playing with toys. Ryan's, what is it called? Ryan's Toy Channel. You can watch Ryan playing with toys. It's so exciting. In fact, you can watch Ryan playing with Legos. Your child can watch it. You don't even have to buy the Legos. Your child will be just as entertained by Ryan playing with Legos as if he or she had the Lego. It's crazy. They make it so easy for us to be followers. Like this page, send a friend request, click a little thumbs up symbol, and bam, you're done. That's all you need to do, right? You are a follower. Isn't that how it works? You are a follower. You don't even have to look anymore. You can hide people you follow on the Facebook. Did you know that? Why would you do that? I don't understand. You follow somebody and you just want to hide him. Well, I don't want to look at him anymore, so I'm going to hide that person. I've seen it happen. I have watched people do it. It's great. What about that? Now, if you do want to watch, that's even better. My mama just got a Facebook badge from our church's Facebook page. I didn't know we gave out Facebook badges, but we do. You get a Facebook badge if you interact with the Facebook page a lot. Mama does. Oh, my goodness. Mama does. She comments. She's the first one to comment on everything that I put out. You can find Pam Shelley. She's at the top of the list right there. That's my boy. She'll say that. Put a smiley face, whatever. One time, several years ago, I posted a picture of two baskets of folded laundry and said, look what I did for Shannon. Folded two baskets of laundry. That's great. Just kind of a funny thing. Mama commented on it with a whole paragraph. She talked about what a good boy I was and how proud she was that I was a good husband and helped fold the laundry. And she went ahead and shared that I could fold underwear better than anybody she had ever seen. I had to call her. I said, Mama, the church people do not need to know all these things. But when your mama loves you, there's not much else you can say but thank you. Follow. It has become this passive activity, hasn't it? We just sign up, we click like, we sit back and watch the ultimate bystanders in the parade of life, right? It's kind of what it feels like. Every now and then we throw something in the parade. Look what I fixed for supper. Here's some laundry I followed. Here we're going on a staff retreat. We put stuff out there. It's great. It's fine for Facebook, and it is always fun to see what people are doing. But the gospel that we Christians preach is built on a very different understanding of follow, isn't it? Very different understanding of follow. Did you hear these few calling stories that we read? We didn't read them all, but we read several. Jesus calling those first disciples, come, follow me, come and see, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. What did they do? Did they click like or accept a friend request and quickly get back to work and wait to see what Jesus might post next? No, they did not do that. That's not what they did. They left their nets. They left their families, their familiar, they left their safe lives, and they followed Jesus, didn't they? Now, life was different then. It wasn't all that uncommon to have an itinerant preacher going around gathering up disciples. Everyone, it seemed, was hungry for meaning and purpose, for something deeper than the daily grind. Everybody was weary of formal religion. Maybe it's not that much different than today. Anyhow, here comes this spiritual guru, Jesus, with this mysterious aura about him. And they just say, you know what? Let's go. Let's just go with him. Leave those nets with daddy. Leave the tax book with the secretary. We're going. We want whatever he has. We're going to follow him. Their decision may have been as quick as clicking like on Facebook, but what happened next was very different. Following Jesus, especially at first, was not an act of believing the right things or having the right knowledge or even having all that much faith. You remember faith the size of a what? A mustard seed? That's a little bitty. Faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. Following Jesus was not just watching Jesus and giving him a thumbs up when he did something good. That's not what it was. Following Jesus was actively, physically, literally following Jesus. They went with him. They lived with him. They worked with him, suffered with him, talked to the people he talked to. They ate the food that he ate. They slept in the houses where he slept. They did the work he did. They followed him, didn't they? Even before they really were all that sure about who he was. A few of them thought they knew, but they didn't really know until they left everything and followed him. I fear a kind of a passiveness has infected the Church of Jesus Christ in this 21st century. It's probably always been there, but maybe I'm just noticing it more and more these days. It does seem to be quite profound. Following Jesus for many has become a hobby, a weekend thing, a political activity. Sometimes it's even like a personal spiritual buffet. We hear it in the words that we use. I hardly ever ask somebody, "Do you follow Jesus?" I say, "Where do you go to church?" I don't ask somebody, "Are you a disciple?" I say, "Do you go to Sunday school?" And I look seriously, "Do you go to Sunday school?" And I wait for them to answer. I rarely say, "Are you a Christian?" I say, "Do you believe in Jesus?" See, I like those passive questions. I think they are less risky when you leave out the "so what" piece. Do you follow Jesus? Yes. So what? Less risky to not ask that. I don't think this passiveness has been intentional. Rather, I think it is the result of our desire to clearly define the content of our Christian faith. We've done a really good job defining what is Christianity, what are the right things to believe and to teach. We don't always agree on what they are, but we love to have them clearly defined. It makes us feel better. We've done such a good job that many people equate following Jesus with just believing the right things about Jesus, with teaching others to believe the same things about Jesus, and protecting that set of beliefs from all outside influence, and then just showing up at church once a month or so. But we in the church, we have not done such a good job asking, what does Christianity do? What does it do in us and through us and in the world around us? I'm afraid sometimes we have forgotten how it all started. It started with an invitation, didn't it? Jesus said, "Follow me, follow me." Follow in the Greek is akalotheo. It means come with me, be with me, by my side, walk with me, stand with me, help me, serve with me. That's what Jesus says to us, to all disciples. Come with me, friends, Jesus says. Come with me. Let's learn the good news of God's love. Let's do the good news of God's love together. We are called by this invitation into God's mission. God's mission of making the world new again, of loving the world back to life one heart at a time. There is nothing passive about that, not anything passive about that. It's gritty, it's real, it is life-changing, and it is so hopeful, so hopeful. Here's the rub. Our culture doesn't really allow much space for this kind of gritty, real work, does it? It isn't that our culture is anti-Christian. We just use that as an excuse. Our culture is anti-life, you see, anti-life. Our culture has taught most of us to choose to be so busy, so tired, that we are forced to compartmentalize every element of life. This is family night over here. This is church night over here. This is ball practice night. This is work late and finish everything night right here. This is the box where we have our faith. This is the box for how much time we spend driving to and from Nashville every day. We have to do that just to get through, and still Jesus calls us, "Follow me, akalotheo. Come with me, friends. Be with me. Let's learn and do the gospel together." God's mission needs all of us, all of us. I think sometimes we want to say, "Okay, Jesus, okay, but my mission right now is just to not die, okay? My mission is just to make it through, to not die. When I finish that, we'll talk. Until then, can we just go back to the passive, believe the right stuff kind of a thing, and let me just endure the next 20 or 30 or 40 years? You can if you like. You can do that if you want to. But Jesus calls us to something better. I think Brother Clovis said it well. What we need is faith. For faith is not a tame and spineless thing that dares nothing. Real faith dares something, something big and brawny beyond the human. Hence it brings into life the thrill of finest romance. Does the way you follow Jesus bring into life the thrill of finest romance? Does it dare the big and brawny beyond the human? It can. It will. Fasten your seatbelts, brothers and sisters. Jesus is calling. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Let's pray together. Oh God, we hear your voice. It says to us, follow me. Follow me. We want to. We want to, Lord. But life is hard. Life is busy. Life is crazy. There is no time. And you whisper still, follow me. I have all the time. Help us, oh God, to be your disciples, to follow you with every moment of every day, with every aspect of life, with a wholeness and a healing that you give to us the closer we get to you. Thank you that you call us, you equip us, and you give us your grace for this work. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.